Amen. Let's have a seat. Glory to God. Good to see you. How has been your week? Trust this has been great. Amen. Acts chapter 10. Tonight, I want to start looking at healing is God's will. Amen. Healing is God's will. Amen. Acts chapter 10. We had a combined or mixed service on Sunday. And because of the shortness of the time, there were things that we were told. And from time to time, as a pastor, one of the things I learned about ministry is that there are some subject matters that need to be taught constantly and consistently because you can't get to the end of those subject matters. There has to be a refresher course regularly. Subject matters like faith, like prayer, like healing, they need to be taught repeatedly because you will always have to learn. Nobody ever gets there or arrives when it comes to the Supreme. You need to keep strengthening your faith, building up yourself on your most holy faith along those areas when it comes to walking in the reality of those things. All right, Acts chapter 10. I'm going to read from verse 34. Most of us are familiar with the story. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and walketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. Our God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." The most important part of verse 38 that we just read is that last part that says, "God was with him." Or in other words, this healing, which is the good that Jesus did, this is the signature of God. God was with him. Now, what was God trying to do? Call attention of men and women in Israel to himself. Which part of God was God trying to call attention to? Healing as a demonstration of his goodness. I'm going to read verse 38 again. "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power." Now the word "and" there is an explanation. In other words, when it says with the Holy Ghost, that is power, or I mean power. So the Holy Ghost there is the same word as what power. Not two different things, but the same thing. How God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost, or he was anointed with power. Now what was that power doing? He went about doing good. Again, the word "and" occurs again. And healing. Or the good that he did was to heal. Hallelujah. The good he did was to heal. Healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, it's significant because the reason why Peter preached that message was because the Gentiles, which is the house of Cornelius, were people who, according to Jewish law, were outcasts. They were strangers from the commonwealth of Israel, from the covenants of promise. They were outcasts. So there was a message Peter was preaching after he repented to a degree. There was a level of repentance because Peter didn't want to go. According to Jewish law, their eyes were blinded by the interpretation of law of Moses, and so they still assumed that God would have nothing to do with anyone who was not a Jew. Hallelujah. They didn't know that the Jewish nation was a case study that was meant to be a reflection of what God would do with the whole world. So when Peter went there, it's interesting, he opened his mouth, means there was inspiration, and began to say, "Of a truth, I perceive." That's not the testimony of the Jew, that God is no respecter of persons. The Jews are respecter of persons. They are respecter of tribes and races. But Peter is testifying to who God is. "I perceive." So where did Peter's perception come from? In the fact that he was supernaturally sent to the house of Cornelius. That's where the perception came from. "I perceive. My being here is proof. You saw an angel. An angel brought a message, and the message is that send for one Peter called Simon, is in the house of another tribe called Simon, who shall tell the words whereby you and all your family shall be saved." So Peter's perception came from that experience. Number two, the experience he also had in a trance with the angel that spoke to him and said that whatever God has cleansed, he must not call common. Hallelujah. I want you to see the background because it's important, because this is the reason why salvation was received in the house of Cornelius. Even though we're not looking at salvation today, but the principle of salvation and healing, they are the same. So we're borrowing from that verse of scripture to open our hearts up to one or two things. Let me take a pause in my explanation and say one or two things. One of the most rude awakenings I ever had in my personal life was when I was ministering healing to people and people were getting healed. In fact, my room, University of Badon, was E55 below, was known as the healing and deliverance room. It was known. It got to a point where we said, "I want to get healed." My nickname on campus was Bishop. "Go to E55. You'll be healed there." Then I got sick. I got very sick. I got sick in capital letters. And I was wondering, no, that's not possible. We that were shaving God. You can't be shaving God and be falling sick. Doesn't God know it's me? God should know that it's me. It's not me. The healing power is flowing like this. Will not be sick. What's going on? And I prayed. No relief came. Thank God, God had mercy on me. I learned a major lesson. Ministering healing as a ministry is different from receiving healing as an individual. They're not the same thing. Ministering healing as per ministry, which is something God allows every saint to practice, and receiving healing as an individual, they're not the same thing. In other words, God doesn't heal you because you're serving him. Okay, that's not nice. Because if you break natural laws, you can still force it. So God doesn't heal you as a payment for service. God heals you because it's good and because healing is part of his nature. If the basis for God healing anyone is service, then every single person Jesus healed in four gospels, none was serving God. I deliberately came from this angle because, you know, we're just starting today because it's important, because people have questions. If God is so good, why is so much evil happening? There are questions people have. And we need to understand from the authority of God's word. I was serving God. I was active in ministry. I fell sick. Because the Bible calls sickness a demonic oppression. And it calls God's goodness is to heal. So everyone Jesus healed in the four gospels, the first thing I noticed that was a root shock was that they were all sinners. None was righteous. None was actively serving God. But he got healed. So God doesn't heal you because you're serving him. The same way God doesn't allow you to become sick because you're not serving him. No. Those things happen to man because we live in a fallen world. The reason why we're going this route is because if you don't have answers to these questions, your faith will not work when it comes to healing. You are asking questions. Once you are full of questions, your faith can work to receive. I don't understand why God. What is God looking at? He's looking at you. Is that means you are not receiving by reaching out for healing? Yes, there are adjustments we need to make. But God doesn't heal you because you're serving him. Healing is not a reward for service. Healing is a byproduct of service, but it's not a reward for service. There are two different things. Healing is a byproduct of service, but it's not a reward for service. And we need to tackle those myths as we look at God's word together, so that if anything happens to you in the area of health, you will know how to stand your ground on God's word, on the authority of what we're looking at. So he says, notice, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. That's the first thing. He's not the respecter of persons. So if God is no respecter of persons, what does God do? He says, but in every nation, he that feareth him and walketh righteousness is accepted with him. Now, look at what God now did. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say, you know. Now, in verse 36, you have word, which is logos, which is the mind of God, which is the counsel of God. That is the ideology of God, who God is, how God behaves, God's plan, what God stands for. That's logos. But in verse 37, it now says, that word, I say you know, it changes it to rhema. It says, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism that John preached. What was God declaring? Preaching peace by Jesus Christ. So the action of Jesus, listen carefully, in preaching, teaching and healing was God declaring peace. What is the most important thing an individual needs to know about receiving from God is that God is a God of peace. To preach means, now, to preach something means it already exists, isn't it? But you're announcing. So the announcement has to be for a purpose. It means for the people to hear. So you don't know what is in my heart until I show by words and action what is in my heart concerning you. So God began to preach or to declare peace. That peace is nothing missing, nothing broken. I'm not angry with you. I don't have a grudge against you. I'm not holding you accountable for anything that you have ever done wrong. I'm preaching peace. Because once there's fear of judgment or punishment, there's no peace. So preaching peace by Jesus, that was Peter's explanation of God's personality revealed through the ministry of Jesus Christ. So the personality of God is that he came preaching peace. And the first step was, notice, he's not a respecter of persons. He's not into races or tribes. No. What he has made available is for all and is unto all that will believe. How will they believe? You preach peace. God is not angry with you. God is not holding your sins what? Against you. He's not. He didn't say there are no sins, but he's not holding them against you. He didn't say there are no faults. He's not holding them against you. So he came preaching peace by Jesus Christ. Now, how was the peace practically preached? Our God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. And there's a reason why Peter took hold of the natural credentials of Jesus to explain the workings of God. Because as we go on, you see, our God anointed Jesus Christ. No, our anointed Jesus of Nazareth, not Jesus Christ. It was Jesus of Nazareth that God anointed. That is the earthly expression of God. That is Jesus. So in other words, God did not anoint God. God anointed God that became man. I hope you understand. That means his humanity required that God will have to put something upon him to express himself. If you understand what I'm saying. Now, so are God anointed? Two things. God is not a respecter. He has to prove it. God is declaring peace. He has to prove it. And the way he chose to was to announce through the lips of Jesus. And number four, it says he went about with the anointing God put as a signature on him. He didn't say he went about doing good, which is healing all. So the good he did was what? To heal all. So the emphasis of all shows he's no respecter of persons and doesn't hold anything against any individual. He healed all. That means God does not discriminate. Now, again, remember, to heal all will also mean it's not based on their conduct or their character, but it's based on his goodness. He went about doing good, healing all. So he's telling you that healing is a manifestation of God's goodness. Praise God forevermore. Healing is a manifestation of God's goodness. Well, we have to see it as such. Healing is a manifestation of God's goodness. Put your hand there. Go with me to John's Gospel, chapter 17. Jesus, on the prayer he prayed, I read from verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over our flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast what? Sent. Which is, they might know. So, everything God does rides on the ability of man to recognize everything God does on the earth. God became a man so that man could see God. God went about so that man could hear God. God healed so that men could receive from God. So, remember, John 1:18, no man has seen God at what? Anytime. But the only begotten Son, who is where? In the bosom of the Father, he has come to declare. Verse 14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and will beyond his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Father, full of grace, and that grace is what? Truth. Grace which is truth. So, the same God that was promised, or that spoke by the mouth of the prophets, who promised things in the Old Testament, is now manifest in the flesh. And when we saw him, we beheld his glory, that is his fullness, his heaviness, he's full of grace, that is love gifts. And that love gift, that's the truth about him. So, no man has seen God at any time, but they have heard about God. If they seen God at all, who they've seen, even the Old Testament, is Jesus in the manifestation. Now, Jesus now praying this prayer, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus. Or I mean Jesus whom thou hast what? Sent. So, the reason why Jesus came was to make God fully known. So, the ministry of Jesus in teaching, in preaching, in healing, was to make God fully known. Now, you may not understand how important that is, until you realize that there are several interpretations based on the experience of men as per who God is in terms of character. The experience men have had. And men have tried to interpret God in light of the experiences. So God came to clear up all misconceptions. Hebrews chapter 1, one more time. That they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Hebrews 1, 1. God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Verse 2. As in these last days, spoken unto us by his Son. The expression last days doesn't mean the end of time. Okay? It's a Bible phrase for the time of fulfillment of all that was spoken. So notice, God spoke by the mouth of the prophets to the fathers. Whatever God spoke, the time of the fulfillment of those words is called last days. So he's using Jesus to explain what last days means. Last days means, you see that God kept speaking by the mouth of the prophets to the fathers. The things God spoke, they have a time frame for fulfillment. That fulfillment time frame is called what? Last days. So you can see the last days began in the resurrection of Jesus. So he now says, in these last days, or in the time of that fulfillment, he has now spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed here. He's saying the same thing. So the word here means the one who will bring to pass all that God has spoken, and by whom also he framed the ages, or he made the worlds. Now look at verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, the writer of Hebrews is giving you Jesus' CV. This is his credential. Is the brightness of God's glory, the express image. That is, as far as God is concerned, you can't improve on Jesus. You can't. This is God fully manifest. This is God as God can be. This is God as he will ever be. He says, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Okay, that is, and bringing to pass all things with respect to the utterance of his power. When he had by himself what? Purged our sins. He sat down on the right hand of majesty on high. Now this is, our sins were purged. He sat down to show our sins are purged. Or is sitting down is a sign that our sins have been what? Purged. Hallelujah. Now, listen very carefully. This is God. God came, he paid the price for our sins. When he paid the price, he sat down, or he abides in the light of the fact that our sins are forever forgiven. And we know that sin and sickness are synonymously used in the scriptures to portray the condition of man. So if you have dealt with sin, you have also dealt with sickness. Does it take power to forgive sins? Yes. Does it take power to heal sickness? Yes. So he sat down on the right hand. So when God showed up, what was he concerned about? Taking away or purging sin. How did he demonstrate it physically? You can't see sin, but you can see sickness and its effects. So Jesus, while he was walking around, will be taking away sin from people to show what he will do to what? Sickness. Hallelujah. What sin does to a man's spirit is what sickness does to a man's body. They are synonymous. So when he says God was preaching peace by Jesus, listen carefully. As the message went forth, people became aware that God will heal them through the ministry of Jesus, and God will heal them without asking questions. He will heal all. He won't ask questions. So the questions in man's heart, which was the reason why there was lack of peace, was being sorted from the message that was preached. Because the questions in the hearts of man is the only barrier between them and receiving what God has offered. So the questions in their heart was the only barrier. Put your hand there again. Look at Colossians. Today is the first day, so it's good for us to cover some areas. Colossians chapter 1, I read from verse 21. And you, there were some time, that's at one time, you were alienated and enemies were in your mind by wicked works, yet as in a what? Reconciled. So there was enmity in the hearts of men. So God sent the word. What was that word? It was preaching peace. Why? God knows if you can get to the hearts of men, men will be able to receive all that God has for them. Can you see that now? Let me pause and say this. How many chapters are in the book of Job? How many of you remember? I know you don't go there. Neither do you read in Lamentations or Jeremiah and say, why am I lamenting? Jesus has done it all. Amen. At least you should at least know it. It's not for my sake. Jeremiah, we ask you in heaven. Amen. There are 42 chapters. And historians tell us that those 42 chapters of affliction roughly was about 9 months. That means the woman with the issue of blood experienced more than that. So in 9 months, notice, Job was serving God, but Job was afflicted. It took Job 9 months to discover that God is the deliverer, not the afflicter. It took Job that long time. But God did not change during that period of time. In fact, God was the one ensuring that Job's life was not touched. It was there. But did Job know? In fact, Job was attributing all that was happening to God. Naked came I into the world, naked will I return. The Lord give it. The Lord take it away. Blessed be. How can you bless that? But Job's utterances was what the enemy used to attack him. But Job didn't know. Now, in Job's ignorance, God's mercy still prevailed. There was only one thing that God couldn't do through Job's ignorance. It was the fact that he was not aware fully of God's mercy. So there couldn't be restoration. So in the last chapter, restoration came when Job knew. How did Job know? God told him. And when God told him, what did Job do? He said, go and pray for your friends. What does that mean? You are still standing right with me. So God did not only heal him. God restored him when he began. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. Now, 9 months, just because he didn't know. And there was nobody that offered counsel. The closest person that offered counsel to Job that made sense was Eliel. He had about 4 friends. The other 3 were speaking rubbish. But God told Job that these ones, they've not spoken anything concerning me except this one. I hope you know it's Eliel that said that there's a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth him what? Understanding. That's Job 32. I said, they should speak. A multitude of years should speak wisdom. I did not know. Like God, people are old. Doesn't mean they have sense. That's my paraphrase. Because I'm younger than all of you, so I assumed that you all will know much more than I do. So when you're reading all the chapters, they were reaching now for us to know how not to accuse God, what not to say about God. Job was greatly afraid. So the enemy came, but it wasn't God. But I want to say something. Job loved God. And in all this, Job did not sin with his mouth. Did not sin means he didn't accuse God falsely or wrongly. But was he still afflicted? Yes. So the idea that if I serve God faithfully, sickness won't come. As long as you have a mortal body, it can come. Should this stay? It should not stay. I hope you understand the difference. It should not stay. But the first thing I want you to notice here is that, do you notice that God stamped signature of his person on Jesus by healing all? It was healing all to show that healing does not depend on you. It depends on God. The only part of healing that depends on you is reception. So you can't qualify for healing. It has to be by God's goodness alone. You can't qualify. Let me say it again. You can dot all the I's and cross all the T's. You cannot qualify for healing. It has to be by the mercy of God and the mercy of God what alone. Why? It is God's goodness on display. Psalm 107. Are you following? So notice, men's minds were alienated from the goodness of God. Psalm 107. And I read from verse 20. Praise God. Glory, glory, glory. Verse 20. He sent his word. Who is God's word again? Thank you. And healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Look at verse 21. Hold that men will praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to who? The children of men. What is he saying? He's saying that deliverance, that's God's goodness. That healing, that's God's goodness. So the fastest way to receive healing, to receive on a platform as, this is God being good to me. I can merit it. I can work for it. I can qualify for it. It has to be an act of God's goodness. So the only way God could show to the nation of Israel at that time, and I'm not angry with you or I'm not holding anything against you, was to manifest healing. Now, remember, these are people who are used to the law. And the Lord says that if you do this, I will do this. So to manifest healing, he went about healing all. And the Bible says he was preaching peace. So in other words, it was announcing, this is freely available to all that will believe, I am who I say I am, I'm a healer. Healing was not strange to Israel. Jehovah of the Old Testament was a healing God, they knew. But what they did not know was God would heal all, and that God was no respecter of persons, and that God does not find fault. They didn't know. They didn't know. When I found myself in that situation where I was like, well, you know, we are serving God. There's no reason why we should be sick. That's when I noticed that those who were not serving him in the four Gospels, they were getting healed. And they were not serving him. So obviously now, like I said, service cannot be the platform. Healing can be a benefit of service, but serving is not the reason why God is healing. No. It's like saying, I'm serving God the best way I am, so God has to save me. No, if you don't believe, you won't be saved. Do you notice that Cornelius was approached by the angel, and Cornelius feared God with the way he knew how. He was devout, means that he followed the law of Moses. So as to the best of his knowledge, he was serving God, but he sent for a man who will tell thee was whereby you and your household shall be saved. That means he wasn't saved. So that you're serving God this way doesn't mean you're saved. Well, God is no respecter of person in every nation. He that doeth righteousness is accepted by him. And to do righteousness means to act by faith. So Cornelius was able to receive because of the message that was preached, which is God is new. Even the Gentiles knew that the Jews don't associate with them. But God sent Peter to announce one thing. God is at peace. God is no respecter of persons. And in every nation, everyone that believes is accepted with him. And Jesus went about doing good, healing all. So healing is a demonstration and a manifestation of God's goodness. Never forget it. It's so important. The greatest revelation that he had in the Old Testament was, for the Lord is good, and what? His mercy endures. Say, his mercy endures forever. His mercy is an operation of his goodness. For the Lord is good, therefore his mercy. Because it's good, that's why his mercy what? Endures forever. So as we go through the scriptures, in every instance of healing, you will notice one thing. If they did not receive, it was because they did not know. That they did not know will mean that though the power is present, they could not take hold of the power because they were ignorant of how the power is present. Apparently, when it comes to healing, which is God's goodness, it cannot be forced upon men. So the way God does it is he announces or he sends a message. And when God announces, so that men can hear. And by hearing, an interaction takes place where? In the heart of man. You know, years ago when I first read about Kenneth Hagin's ministry, when Jesus told him, when Jesus tells you to do what in your personality is contrary to your personality, and he tells you if you don't do this thing, it will not work. He said, when you want to minister healing to people, tell them I appear to you. Tell them I place my right hand upon your head and upon your palms. I put my fingers in your palms. Tell them the new anointing is in your palm. Tell them they will believe that I sent you, that they will receive. Now, if you know Kenegin, you know that that's the last thing he wants to do. But Jesus said, this anointing, this one, not other ones, this one, it should not work if you don't do what I told you. It should not work if you don't do what I told you. This one, it will not work if you don't do what I tell you. So when he's teaching, he will stylishly mention it. Why? Jesus said, they have to know. I've given you a special. Why was it special? Because of the peculiarity of the way it works. Now, he missed God for a period of close to 20 years because he, being a teacher, and that's the challenge a lot of teachers have. I teach a bit, so I have an understanding of what teachers face. You want to teach everybody to grow up overnight. And therefore, he left off having healing meetings for a long time until Jesus corrected him. He said, the reason why I gave you a peculiar healing gift that has a manifestation that you feel tangibly in your hands is because not everybody will get to that place of spiritual growth, and I don't want them to die of sickness. In other words, God will do everything possible, make every avenue possible so that men can be healed. That's how good God is. He will bring healing to you at elementary basis, wherever you are, so that at whatever level, both of you, you can receive healing seated in your house, you can receive healing walking on the road, you can receive healing while you are in a local assembly in a church, you can receive healing in a prayer meeting, you can receive healing by prayer, but you can receive healing anywhere, at any time, in any way. Hallelujah. Why? By all means, just get healed. So it means it available in everything. Somebody asked me a question, the pastor, can I receive healing by taking the communion? I said, look at what you call it the communion. Yes, you will. You can. Somebody says, well, because of your faith and what it represents to you. I hope you understand. It's your faith. If I sit down on this and say, if you touch this, you'll be healed. And you believe me, you'll be healed. Someone says, why? That's how easy God made healing. Because by all means, once people, why? It seems as though healing seems to be the strongest demonstration in lives of men of God's mercy and faithfulness. A man that is in pain can't see well. Have you had malaria before? I want to read the Bible. And you have seen men as trees walking inside the Bible. Have you noticed when you are sick, it's easy to think evil thoughts? Have you noticed? You even thinking like, why am I thinking? The easiest time to think of is when you are sick. You think of things you should never have to think about at all. That means that sickness is not, it's not good to be sick, period. The most evil things is what will come to mind when you are sick. We were at a meeting over the weekend. Pastor T and I were at a meeting over the weekend. And we have four different sessions. Thursday evening, Friday morning, Friday evening, Saturday morning. Quite a schedule. And every single meeting was a Holy Ghost meeting. And there were a lot of activations in the meeting. People's spiritual gifts were impaired and activated. So some of the people that were activated in that meeting with gifts of healing, I told them to come. I wanted to let them see that it wasn't just a function of we just came and then we began to ask them to minister. You could see the shock on people's faces. Pastor T is here. Every single person. I don't think there was anybody that wasn't healed. I mean 100%. Everybody was healed. Everybody that came out, everybody. And I deliberately called out those people who came out with cases where they could feel it in their bodies. Somebody's back. Somebody was on. Somebody's leg. Somebody had toothache. Toothache. When it's healed, God is good. The pain goes straight to the brain. Toothache is the only thing I've seen adults' tears coming out. Toothache is of the devil. It's clear. You don't know what people go through when they see they have toothache. You don't know what they go through. The day I ministered somebody for the first time who had toothache in a meeting, and she got healed. All the other cases were easy. I'm telling you the truth. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how's the pain? She said 12 over 10. Said 12 over 10. When the pain left, she started crying. She was in shock. She couldn't believe it. God's power entered and healed her. With pain. Knees. In fact, it was interesting because some people were standing in front. They did not know they were healed. So they were still standing. So I said, can you please check? One guy, he jumped up. He wanted to be sure. He bent down. He was doing gymnastics. He was in shock that he had gone. That's how easy God wants healing to be. Why? It's an act of God's what? Goodness. And notice something. It went about doing good. Healing all. So the good was to heal all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was what? So sickness is demonic oppression. Now when I say, doesn't mean that every sickness directly. But sickness itself, the origin is where? It's of the devil. Hallelujah. Look at John's Gospel chapter 9. We trust God that in this series, will make it too easy for us to receive healing. Anytime and any place where we are. Glory to God. The time comes when you understand how God is willing to heal. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Somebody was telling me recently, said that medication is not very expensive. And it's true. And we have something better that's more permanent. Hallelujah. God's healing power is better and it's free. And it's more permanent. Somebody bought antibiotics for 20-something thousand and it still did not work. That's the bad part. You cannot return it. It still did not work. So where are we going back to? Our foundation, our roots. Healing is God's will for me. Health is God's will for me. Healing is God's will for me. And health is God's will for me. I walk in sound health. And if I need healing, I'll be healed. Not occasionally, every single time. John chapter 9. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, so this is the thinking that men have. Remember, my people are destroyed for the lack of what? Knowledge. So there is a lack of knowledge as to why something is. Why is this experience going on? And the minute men try to interpret in light of their understanding, there's a problem. So men are destroyed for the lack of what? Knowledge. Now, we don't know if this is what the parents also taught or what the man also taught. But these are the disciples of Jesus who are meant to be schooled. And look at what they said. Master, who did sin, this man or his parents that was born blind? Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned nor his parents. Is he saying they're not sinners? No. He's saying the condition. The guy was born. That way. It's not a function of anything the parents did. No. It's not a function. Not at all. So it's not because the parents missed it or the young man missed it, which is not even possible. How will you miss it from your mother's womb? Even Jesus was not like that. You did wrong. Why are you still inside? How? So just look at the theology. Why? They needed an explanation. And if you don't have the light of truth of God's word, you will provide one for yourself. So they had a theory already that Jesus needed to dispel. Jesus said, neither has this man sinned nor his parents. So it wasn't because Job sinned also. Because the friends of Job told him, you have sinned. Just repent. Stop wrapping yourself in self-righteousness. Admit that you have sinned. His wife of Job told him, curse God and then die. Who needs a wife like that in crisis? Curse God and die. How's the advice? And Job looked at that. You speak like one of those foolish women. That's what Job said. You speak like one of those foolish women. So This was their theology. Neither has this man seen nor experienced, but that the works of God should be manifest, I must walk the works. That's how you read it. So, this is not the work of God. This is not the judgment of God. This is not the punishment of God. I must now walk the work of God. So, this blindness is not glorifying God. I must now do what glorifies God. What will I do to glorify God? I will heal this man of this oppression. I will set this man free. Let me say it again. This is the reason why we say things like, babies don't come from God. It's a true statement, and yet it's not a completely true statement. Because when a man meets a woman, baby will come. It is when a man meets a woman and babies don't come that you seek God's help. I hope you understand. But if God is personally regulating how babies are born, no mad woman should conceive. Yes or no? So that means God put into humanity ability to reproduce, to be used at man's discretion, not at God's discretion. God put guidelines which man may obey and not obey. So if God is one personally seeing to it that people conceive or they don't conceive, nobody ripped will conceive. I hope you understand what you said. But do people get ripped and conceive? Yes. Is that God's will? No. So there are things man does and makes to happen outside of God's will. And that should already tell you that God doesn't have what you call control, the way we think control is. No, God sets a system in place. So for instance now, everyone that asketh, receiveth is a system. Everyone that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, door shall be what? Open. It's like saying this. If you believe in your heart and you confess where? With your mouth, thou shall be. So God is not personally regulating in that sense. What regulates is the word he has given, which is the provision he has made. That's what God does. So the same way God preached peace by Jesus Christ, everyone that hears about it and accepts that peace will be healed. So God is not personally selecting them. Their obedience or response to the word is what was selecting them for God's favor. In fact, that's what that scripture means when it says, I will have mercy upon whom that word have mercy. When it says, it's not of him that willeth or him that runneth, but of God that what? Showeth mercy. That same principle. So, it's not that God is personally saying that you will be saved, you will not be saved. No. He preached peace. He's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't pick one above the other, but everyone. So, everyone is functioning of everyone that responds to the word that is sent. They will be able to what? Receive what is what? Available. So, Jesus now says, I must walk the walk. So, God in Christ is now saying, this is not my work. This is my signature. I will now show my signature. I will walk the walk of him that same way as they did not come in where no man can walk. Look at what Jesus did. When he had just spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of speech and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Then he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sin. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. He came seeing. Interestingly, this man did not fully know who Jesus was. You remember he was blind. But he heard about the name of Jesus. He followed the instruction. He obeyed what he was told. And Jesus said, I'm walking the works of God. Say with me, God has never put sickness or disease on anyone. You will not know the importance of that statement until you read wrongly what is written in the scriptures. Look at Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. Say, God does good and heals all those who are oppressed of the devil. Good. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice, so the power is in your hearkening to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will do that which is right in his sight. And will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. Let me summarize all that now. Today, if you have faith and just believe, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which are brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that what? Healeth thee. Now, how do you know how to explain the phrase, I will put none of the diseases upon thee, which I have put? How do you know? In the same verse of scripture, the first line and the last line agree. That's two positives. Now notice, if you diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, you will do that which is right in his sight, you will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, or you will have faith. That's summary. You will have faith. So let me say it this way. The reason why this disease, which won't be upon you, is upon the Egyptians because they did not obey that rule. Hallelujah. They will not hear the voice. They will not diligently hearken. They will not. He says, because who am I? I am the Lord that heals you or that takes the sickness away. Let me put it another way. I will take away the same sicknesses that plague them. When it comes to you, I will take it away. So when it says, I will not put the one I brought upon, the phrase brought upon means I permitted it to stay because they did not hearken or they did not believe. I will not permit to stay because you hearken and you believe. How many of you understand what you said? Thank you. Each understand what he's trying to say. I permitted it to say. So it's actually a permissive tense. It's something permitted, not something God actively what did. You can't give what you don't have. God doesn't have sickness. God takes sickness away. God doesn't have darkness. But his absence of his light produces what? Darkness. He doesn't have darkness. He doesn't have sickness. God can't give what he doesn't have. God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So if God is healing, in him is no sickness at all. You need to understand how it works. So God cannot punish. He cannot correct. He cannot train somebody with sickness. Somebody says, Pastor, when I was sick, you know, I've been running away from the things of God. But you see, those 3 days I was sick, I really read my Bible. But thank God for you. Well, I preferred if you're not sick, you could have read your Bible better. Because you read the Bible under duress. Because you were cornered. We'll have shown an easy way. That even you don't read your Bible because you were hungry, somebody will have come to minister healing to you. Is any sick among you? Let him go for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him. Anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. It is not about the oil. It's about the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is what makes the oil to work. The name of the Lord is the reason why you are praying for him. If I now say, in case you don't understand what we're talking about, so you don't miss it for the oil. It says the prayer of faith. What is the faith? The faith is in the name of the Lord. What he has accomplished will save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. So it says, in the name of the Lord. So the prayer of faith. Where's faith? Faith is in the name of the Lord. And the Lord shall raise him up. If he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. That sounds contrary to the New Testament. How can you say if he has committed sin? I thought Jesus has forgiven us of all sin. Notice the elders are at play. The elders are in play. Who are the elders? The pastors of the church. The leadership. So the leadership are the ones who came now. And whatever he has done is against the church. So they are the ones who are ministering the forgiveness. He is forgiving of Jesus. I hope you understand what I just said. Hallelujah. In other words, he walked in a place where the enemy could attack him. So he says, if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. And the prayer of faith. Faith in who? The name of Jesus. The reputation of the Lord. What's the reputation? He heals all at the oppression of the devil. So he's not able to receive healing by himself. What should you do? Call for the elders of the church. Now, God is so faithful. Even with little understanding of that scripture, people will just take it literally and just carry oil. You know, nothing in that verse of scripture speaks about the measure of oil you should pour. No, because the adventures that I read of certain old patriarchs, people used to carry a small vial of oil. That's what goes what. Some people, smaller than a vial, they just pour. But it wasn't their pouring the oil that was where their faith was. It was the fact that they read the phrase that says, the Lord shall raise him up. We was there was praying for a particular young man. He said, he literally saw Jesus appear to raise the guy up. Because the integrity of his name is at stake. And the Lord shall raise him up. He has committed sin. And this man had almost cursed God in his heart. Because he was a revivalist and was preaching. And his lungs became affected because he was working in the coal mines. But they used to call him Lazarus. He was now so emaciated. He had fallen sick. On the inside of him, he had more like cursed God. How can you, when you blame God, why you mean his condition, everything? And so, we also said, God told him, go to so-and-so, I think it was Wales, and go and raise their Lazarus. Everybody knew. He said, when he got there, and he told the person at the door that God sent me, the person closed the door in his face, go away, God didn't send you. He knocked again, he said, God sent me. He said, by the time you see him, you will decide whether God sent you. He was, that's how terrible condition. You know whether God really sent you. He said, they called some brethren for them to pray together. That's why you need support to pray together. And let's go and pray over him. So when he got there, he was so emaciated, lying there, just skin and bones. So they prayed. He said 3 different times, the power of God came and hit the man on the bed and vibrated him and power lifted. Second time, the same thing. The third time, we also looked at him and said that, confess your sins and receive. Confess your sins and receive. And he opened his mouth and said, Lord, I'm sorry. And the power raised him up and was made whole. Hallelujah. What that means is that God wanted to heal. The man's heart was all right. So something was stopping the power from flowing through his body, and it was a man's heart. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew 8. Let's read from verse. Are you getting something tonight? So I walk in God's healing power. I walk in his soundness. Matthew 8. And I'm going to read from, I thought I was open to Matthew. When I saw what was written there, I knew I was not in Matthew. I checked the edge. I saw Zechariah. I said, no wonder. I left here quickly. If I announce you what is there, you will know I'm not in Matthew. Let me from verse 1. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying. So to worship is not just in the gesticulation or the action, is in the words. He worshipped him by saying, Lord, if you will, thou can make me clean. I'm saying that to let you see how this other man I just shared with you that story, how what was in his heart was hindering the power of God from flowing. But look at this one now. Lord, if you will, you can. So there are 2 components of God's healing power. His ability to do so and his willingness to do so. This man had a hold on the first. He didn't have a hold on the second. So the first one, which is one that almost everybody has. Can God heal? Yes. Does God heal? Yes. Will God heal? Question mark. Incidentally, the last one is most important. Can God heal? Yes. Does God heal? Yes. Will God heal me? You know, let me say, you know, most of us have faith that somebody else will be healed more than us. Have you noticed that? Have you ever asked yourself why? Why do I seem to have more faith in somebody getting healed? I'm not even meeting. Almost every meeting I go to, I see instantaneous healings. So you seem to have more faith in, if I pray with you, God will heal you now. And when is your turn? Your own turn. Then there are question marks on the inside that you need to answer. So this man said, Lord, if you can, no, if you will, not if you can. There was no ignorance about God's ability. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Look at next verse, verse 3. And Jesus put forth what? His hand and touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. What made the power flow? What Jesus said. What did Jesus say? I will. What was man's question mark? If you will. I know you can. I don't know if you will. So Jesus had to answer that question for the power to flow. But the power was present. So the state of a man's heart is strong enough to stop the flow of power or to regulate it in a man's life. That was why the sermon that Jesus preached in Luke chapter 4 verse 18. That was the sermon Jesus was preaching everywhere in his early days. Why? He was announcing to the people, the Spirit of the God is upon me. He has what? Anointed me. He had to announce it because the people needed to hear. In fact, look at verse 20. Look at verse 20. Listen, Luke chapter 4 verse 18. Look at verse 20. Verse 21. And he began to say unto them, these day, is this scripture fulfilled where? In your ears. Jesus symbolized the fulfillment of the scripture, but notice the manifestation of the fulfillment will be in their ears. It has to do with what they hear. If they hear what he has said, they will receive. But that it is present does not imply automatic what? Reception. Let me say it again. Every single time we gather together, say the power of God is present. And as Church of Jesus, we carry his virtue, his healing virtue, it's present in every service. But have you noticed it doesn't mean people will be automatically healed? Have you noticed that? So that means if there's any area where there's work, it has to be the area of reception. Area of reception. That's what we work on. We work on the area of reception. We don't know all that we need to know yet about why we don't always receive. And when I say we, I mean all of us. Not that some people, no, it's all of us that are a work in progress when it comes to reception. But the power is present every time we gather. God's healing power is present every time we gather. God's power to deliver is present every time we gather. So why don't we always receive? But it's always present. So the variable is always with man. And that's why we need to keep exposing our hearts to God's word so that the variable can be done away with by the light of the truth of God's word. So Jesus did something. He stretched forth his hand and said, I will be thou cleansed. And the man was clean. Where did the healing take place? In the man's heart, first of all. He heard the words, I will. So the question was answered. As long as there's a question mark, the power cannot flow through. Luke 5. See the same principle. Luke 5. You can have faith. There can still be a question mark that needs to be overcome. Luke 5, verse 17. Came to pass on a certain as he was teaching that there were Pharisees, doctors of law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of God was present to heal them. Now, look at verse 19. And when they could not find by what means they might bring in him because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down to the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. Verse 20, and when he saw their faith, it was a collective faith. He saw their faith. Look at what Jesus said. He said unto him, man, thy sins are what? Forgiven thee. So why would Jesus say, people came for healing, you are saying their sins are forgiven, or your sins are forgiven you? I see the faith of you and your friends, but your sins are forgiven. It means there's a question in his heart. Do I deserve this? And Jesus says, don't worry, your sins are forgiven you. Whatever is bothering you, don't worry, it's sorted. Before Jesus said, arise, take up your bed and go to your own house. Hallelujah. Did the man believe? Yes. How do we know? Because of what the man did. Hallelujah. Because of what the man did. Look at what Jesus told the man. Are you still there? Verse 24. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power upon earth to forgive sins. He said unto seek of the palsy, that is somebody paralyzed. Look at what he said to him. I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy couch, and go to thy house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereupon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Glorifying God. Don't tell me he felt like doing it. He acted on the word of Jesus. Arise, take up your couch. Why? He had faith before he came. And the faith had to do with what Jesus must have been preaching, which he must have had. Hallelujah. So healing has more to do with the state of our hearts more than God's power to heal itself. Once you know that God's power is always available to heal, God heals 100% of the time. But men don't receive 100% of the time. Our job is to work on our receiving. The same way God blesses and God provides 100% of the time. Let me say something to you as we close. When it comes to financial miracles, you may need to work a bit extra. The reason is because while God can heal you through a man, he can also heal you in the absence of men. How many of you know that? But when it comes to financial miracles, more often than not, God will have to get it across to you through who? Through a man. So if you pray the prayer of faith, you may need to pray again. Somebody says, why? Because somebody is holding on to your money. Okay, let me ask you. How many times has God urged you to go and give money to Mrs. Fadula? You went to go and give her money. Need you look at her and say that she doesn't need any money. She's looking fresh. No one doesn't need money. Is that what God told you? He God say she needs money because she's not looking fresh. That's not why he told you. He told you to go and what? You don't know. See, I learned that lesson years ago. I was trusting God for certain things. And he told me, go and give that suit to a suit minister. So I spent about 2 weeks holding on to the suit. And when I was going to give the suit, the person said that, this is how all of you behave. God was telling me, this is how you all of you behave. So what do you mean? He said, do you know the time I told you to go and give the suit to the person is the time he prayed? Look at the time we went to go and give it 2 weeks after. He would assume that's when I answered. But I answered the day, that's when he prayed. If you had done it now, you would have opened up a channel of obedience around. You obeyed, and everybody. So people that say God delays, it is man who held on to it. It's man. It's not God, it's man. So I learned, see, from that experience, he said, I told you to give today. When you give 2 weeks after, do you know I told you to give today? Because he asked today. So that means the answer was ready the day he asked. But because the answer was in your custody, you didn't release. He said, so also you and all others. That whatever God will get you that involves men, you have to pray more. So that they release. Hallelujah. So that they release. Particularly when it comes to funds. Thank God, God can bless you through your business. We can bless you through a stranger. He can open doors for you. We call that miracles of financial. I hope you have been confessing every day about finances. Okay. See, since Sunday, I've been receiving money. And I will receive money this coming Sunday. In Jesus' name. Yeah. I'm just telling you. Because when they were praying on Sunday, when I heard that thing, on the inside, something just rose up. You know you can receive money for the next 7 days every day. It has never happened to me before. I said, and I will read. I counted today also. In fact, I did not know I received money today until I went to go and check my app. It has entered. So I can tick today. Yes, this is Wednesday, dong. I hope you understand. First Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. How many days are left? Why? God is able. God is able. I said God is able. Say God is able. I don't play with prophecies. I wrong with them. It's a declaration of what God is willing and God is what ready to do. God is able. So in this season that we're in, let's get God's very best. Let's have enough funds. Somebody says if you have enough funds and you are well, 90% of your problem is solved. If you are well and you have money, every other thing is small. Somebody says, I need wisdom. Wisdom when you don't have money. You need wisdom to manage money. My pastor will say that. Which wisdom do you need to spend if you sell that? There's no wisdom there except to ask church members. Who needs transfer money? That's the only wisdom that you need there. When you have money, 50 million just entered. Father, I need wisdom. Concerning how to handle this. That's when you now need wisdom. But get the money first. Amen. Amen. Why am I saying that? God is able to make all grace to abound unto you and unto me. He's able. Hallelujah. Let's lift up our hands tonight and just thank him. Let's thank him. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the light of the truth. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the supply of your spirit. Thank you for funds. Thank you for health and wholeness is ours. Healing is your will. We walk in the fullness of your will. We walk in your counsel all the days of our lives. None shall be sick or feeble among us. We walk in divine health and divine strength. Your ability works in us mightily. In this season, we declare none shall be feeble. None shall be weak. None shall be sick. No sickness or disease will prevail in our bodies. Our bodies will be a testimony to your grace, your goodness, because we know healing is the children's bread. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. God bless you.